I'm delighted to be with you this morning. It's always good to come to Himley Road and to share in the worship here and to be encouraged and inspired as we worship together. And it's a joy. And not just a joy, it's a relief. Because I'm a bit jet-lagged, can you tell? I'm a bit jet-lagged. Not that I've been flying anywhere, apart from going up and down the motorway. But the other day, a week ago, 10 days ago, one of my grandsons came to live with me for a little while. He said he was going to be with me for a day or two. Well, that kind of stretched out for more than a week, or about 10 days. And then he was arranging to go to live with his mum down in Cornwall. And the plans for that fell through. The person who was supposed to take him there said he couldn't do it anymore. So, Grandad, what are you doing on Friday, Grandad? So I drove down to Cornwall on Friday and back again. So it's been a little bit of kind of 500 miles or so up and down the motorway. And as I travelled, especially down in through Somerset and Devon and Cornwall, there were signs all around of harvest, especially in Cornwall. When there's a traffic queue, what's at the front of the traffic queue? A tractor and a trailer. And we encountered quite a few of them on Friday. And so I was reminded of harvest very much on Friday. And as I drove down, and as I came back up later in the day, much later in the day, there were still tractors and trailers coming from the fields heading to get the harvest home. Our farming community are struggling in many ways and finding life challenging. We need to pray for those who work in our agricultural scene and in other areas as well. We kind of stroll casually, more or less, into our supermarkets, and everything's there. Well, most stuff's there, and it's all down to people working hard to produce and package and share what comes from harvests of various kinds. Harvest is a feature that's mentioned in the Bible all the way through from as a friend of mine says, from generations to revolutions, from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, there's harvest mentioned all the way through. Giving thanks to God for the harvest. And in the New Testament especially, the Lord Jesus picks up the theme of harvest and translates that into human lives, into our lives, about harvest and producing a harvest. In John's Gospel, for example, Jesus said these words to some of his friends, "I am like a real vine." Have you been to the vineyard at Bovington? Oh, it's fascinating to go there at different seasons in the year and to see the work going on in the vineyard. Here in John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus says, I'm like a real vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So stick with me, stay in me, and I will remain in you. You can't bear fruit by yourselves. You must remain in me. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Stay in my love. You will show this, that you remain in my love by obeying my commandments. This command I give to you, love one another. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their lives for their friends. And you are my friends. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. A harvest that will last. and in the New Testament also. In one of the letters that Paul wrote to Christians in Galatia, he wrote these words: "The harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. You can do as much of them as you like. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit of Jesus, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited. Let's not provoke one another or envy one another." I want to read that last passage or part of it again, but in a different translation. This translation comes from a book that was written by a friend of mine, a lovely Welshman called Rob Lacey. He was an actor. He died very young, but he produced what is known as the Street Bible. And from the Street Bible, Rob translates Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26 in this way. "If God's Spirit is in charge, then this is you. You're loving, alive, vibrant, sparkling. You're calm. You walk into a room and friction walks out. You can handle delays. You're not pushy. You're generous with money, with time, with people. You're good and solid, always ready to help. You don't double-cross people. You don't use your fists in anger. You don't lose your rag. You are in control. You're never in trouble with the law. That's you. You're connected with the Liberator, Jesus. And you've put to death your dark side with its must-have attitude. Now that we're living with God's Spirit, let's get our heartbeat in rhythm with His. Let's not get cocky, competitive, or jealous. That's you if you let the Spirit of Jesus work in your lives. A harvest. A harvest that not only improves our being and our well-being, but a harvest that will reach and spill over into the lives of others. Some years ago, I came across, again, some verses, or some lines, rather, about that passage in Galatians chapter 5, and the fruit of the Spirit, the harvest of the Spirit. I noticed it. I came across it again just a couple of days back when I was scanning through a page on Facebook. Joy. Joy is love rejoicing. Peace is love at rest. Patience is love waiting. Kindness is love interacting and touching. Goodness is love initiating. Faithfulness is love keeping its word. Gentleness is love empathizing and supporting. Self-control is love resisting temptation. The harvest of the Spirit is love. Love produced in all kinds of variety. How incredibly helpful I found that to be. And Jesus said, I chose you to bear fruit. I chose you to produce a harvest. We're celebrating harvest. And I grew up in the countryside in the southwest of Scotland, in a town called Kilmarnock. We were surrounded by farms, the farming community. And it was fascinating, even as a youngster, walking out and looking around at what was going on in the fields around me. Yes, there were cattle and sheep and pigs and so on, but there were also fields being turned over and producing a harvest of wheat and barley and all other kinds of turnips and all kinds of other vegetables. Down along the Ayrshire coast, where I used to go a lot, and on the sea, just by the seaside, right along the coast, there were fields after field after field of potatoes growing in some sandy soil. They were really lovely potatoes. Ayrshire tatties. Well, they were. Harvest. And I got to be thinking the other day, as we're thinking about today and harvest, what is the farming community doing at harvest? Well, they're preparing for the next one. They're getting ready for the next harvest. No sooner have the fields been cropped, the ploughs go in, the harrows go in, and everything gets turned over because there's a future harvest to be worked on. And translating that into my life, what is God wanting to do with me? He says, Jesus said, I've called you to produce a harvest of goodness in your life. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What now, Bill? And Jesus said, every branch in me that isn't bearing a harvest gets cut off. And those that produce a harvest are pruned so that they can produce more. Hey, the question I was asking myself this week is, am I prepared to let God work in my life so that I can be more productive, more fruitful? All of us who follow the name of Jesus, who follow Jesus, God is at work in our lives. He's using us so that the harvest of our lives impacts our community, our families, our loved ones, strangers, foreigners, producing a harvest. And I just felt over the last day or two that God is saying, hey, Bill, maybe it's time you let me sort you out a little bit more. Let me come in again to your life so that Jesus is born again in you. I've got a friend who runs a pub down in Cradley. It's called the Plough and Harrow. I often have seen him there and had a chat with him. The Plough and Harrow. When farmers take the plough into a field, it's fairly rough going. The turnover of the soil and everything around it is thrown over and buried again. The roots of what have been there before is kind of buried, yeah. Maybe God wants to take something in my life, in your life, and turn it over. Maybe in good stuff, even the good stuff. But what was that I read a little while ago, or I heard in a talk a little while ago? The blessing of yesterday is no good for today or tomorrow. God wants to produce a new harvest in each of our lives. Sometimes that ploughing can be a painful process. When God overturns our routine, our habits, our attitudes, and God wants to do something new, there's a ploughing process at the harvest, at the end of harvest. In the farming community, they start again from scratch, as it were. Not quite, but there's a turnover, a ploughing. And then the harrowing, that finer detail of work that goes on when you, not just the plough shares turning over the soil, but then afterwards, there comes the fine work that needs to be done. Breaking down the hardness, breaking down the lumps and the clumps of stuff that we've gotten used to in our lives. And sometimes God comes along and, yeah, he plows into us in our lives. But then he comes along and says, I want to do something a little bit more subtle, a little bit more careful. That's when it hurts, you know. Sometimes God does stuff in our lives, or he uses circumstances in our lives, and it's not comfortable at all. When things happen in our lives and the hard things, the hard bits that we've created in our lives just need to be broken down, so that when the sowing comes along, when the seeds come to be planted in our lives, it's easier. They don't land on solid ground, on hard ground. The seed finds it easy to get into the soil because there's been a ploughing and a harrowing process. We sometimes use the word harrowing as meaning really deeply painful. Bereavement, illness, a loss of a job, a loss of friends can be harrowing. But in the original agricultural sense, it's a positive thing. It's a breaking down of hardness and hard things to produce in the future a harvest. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and he will be like a refiner. Another picture. Picture of, well, if you go into the jewelry quarter in Birmingham, I remember going there some years ago, and there was a fellow, he was working on some silver stuff, well, silver really, and the silver was kind of bubbling away I can't think of the word now, but it was bubbling, and I said to the man, when do you know it's ready? When do you know you've got all the scum and all the muck out of the silver? And he said, when I can see my face clearly in it. And God comes along and he wants to see his face clearly in me and in you. The refining process, the harrowing process, the cleaning out of the muck and mess. And Jesus said that's what he would do. He would transform our lives to make us more fruitful, to produce lasting harvest. In John's gospel, I read it earlier on, I chose you to bear fruit, to bear a harvest that will last. So there's a pruning process, a plowing, a harrowing process to make us the kind of people that God wants to use even more. People helping people. That was the message from the food bank. People helping people. And I put a subtitle on it, People Serving Jesus. People serving Jesus by helping people. As we go into this new week, remembering harvest, giving thanks for all that God gives to us personally, individually, but also all that God gives to us that we can share with others. We are called to serve Jesus by helping people, by supporting others. You know, it's so easy. Forgive me. For those of us who are, how can I put it? For those of us who were born earlier, not old, not, well, we're aging. Sometimes us aging people, we become so concerned about us. I've discovered that. I can be so focused on me and my needs and my surroundings that I sometimes forget the others. People in our community who need encouragement or support. Yesterday morning, I was doing my usual thing on a Saturday morning, standing outside the Zoar. It was a bit chilly yesterday morning, saying hello to folks as they come by. And maybe if folks are coming by and they've got a dog, I always talk to the dog first. Because then they stop, and then I can talk to them. Or if they've got children, babies in a pram or pushchair, I'll talk to the little one. And mum or dad will stop and we can have a conversation. A lady said to me yesterday, "When I see you on a Saturday morning, you're always smiling." I said, "You should see me earlier." You should have seen me last night after I came back from Cornwall. I wasn't really smiling all that much. Yeah. Our interaction with people, it doesn't go unnoticed. People will hear your voice. They will, if you're on the phone, people can hear when you're smiling. I listen to some stuff day by day, and there's a fella comes onto this website, and he sounds as if he's so miserable. You know, and I think to myself, why don't you just smile? You see, I used to be involved in broadcasting and radio. And when you sit at the microphone in a recording studio, they're just you. In fact, a friend of mine, years ago, a friend of mine, when he sat down at the microphone, before he actually spoke, before the program started, he would go into his pocket and he would take out his comb and he would comb his hair. Why? Well, I want to look good for the listener. Yeah. And the sound of our voice can be uplifting, or it can be really mournful. Yeah, I know sometimes we are sad. Yeah, and sometimes we do reveal our feelings through our voice. But hey, just by saying hello, we can lift up somebody's spirit. We can encourage folks. Some time ago, some months ago, there was a lady spoke to me outside the Zoar, and she said, "You're the only person who talks to me in a week. Saturday from Saturday, she's locked in her own flat with no one to talk to, no one to be with." And you and I, forgive me, I'm not trying to kind of, you know, boost up me. But just simple things, people helping people, making a phone call, smiling at a neighbor or waving at someone, and helping in other ways, like through the food bank. Jesus calls us to be involved in our, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of others, to communicate his grace. We sang about it earlier on. The grace of God in us flows out to others. That's harvest. That's harvest. The fruit, the harvest of the Spirit is love. Love that is produced, love that is seen in our joy, in our peace, in our patience, in our kindness, love that is seen in our goodness and our faithfulness and our gentleness and our self-control. The love of Jesus in you and in me communicates most of the time without using words. Our actions speak volumes. The harvest is great. But God wants to make us more fruitful. So as we celebrate harvest today and the harvest of God at work in our lives, the question for me is, am I prepared to let the Holy Spirit do a little bit of plowing and harrowing and pruning and shaping, preparing for the next harvest, the harvest of tomorrow and the day after. And I pray that you'll join with me in allowing the Holy Spirit of Jesus to work in our lives, not just to bless us. What was it God said to Abraham way back thousands of years ago? God said to Abraham, I will bless you so that you will bless others. My friends, I pray that as we go to our world, as we go out through the exit doors that way or that way, into our world, that in the days and or the hours and days and weeks ahead, that people will be blessed just by seeing us or meeting us or hearing from us. That's what God wants of us. That's why Jesus chose us. I chose you. Yeah. You and you and you and you. I chose you to have a harvest, to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. God is good. Yeah, he is. All the time. And God's goodness is best seen in the lives of people like you and me who are prepared to do what Jesus said, obey me. That shows that you're staying with me. That shows that you're still linking into me. As you obey my command, and here's my command, love one another. That's one of the commands of Jesus. Love one another. And the other command that Jesus gave was, you go. You go to your world. Make disciples. Encourage other people to find Jesus. You've been ever so good, you know. Hey, you've listened ever so well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time of harvest, this time of worship, when we reflect on your love and your grace, your mercy to us. And you call us to go to our world, to share the good news of the kingdom of God. Work in our lives, loving Father. Help us to be your kind of people in our kind of world, so that more and more people will be drawn not to us, but to you, and find in you the completeness of life that Jesus offers. May your blessing be upon each of us, and may your love reach out through us today and in all the coming days that you give us. Amen. And P.S. There was just a little thought, a naughty little thought that came into my mind just then. The Apostle Paul, writing in the New Testament, says that we are ambassadors for Christ. There's been a lot of talk recently about an ambassador. Lord Mandelson. He's been withdrawn. I wouldn't want Jesus to withdraw me as his ambassador. So I want to stay linked into Jesus. I pray that that might be your desire as well. Lord, I want to be your ambassador, speaking your words, sharing news of your kingdom and your values. Ambassadors for Christ, but that's a story for another time.